You will be given a test to determine your ability to withstand shock.
What the fuck are you watching?
I mean, what was left wasn't even a body.
What the fuck are you watching?
What the fuck are you watching?
The most terrifying form of evil is that which lurks within the human mind.
What the fuck are you watching?
Rated X.
Welcome to What the Fuck Are You Watching? We're a weekly movie podcast exploring the disturbing, the extreme, and everything in between. I'm Chris. And this is Lisa.
Hello.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Chris.
We also have Bo. Hey, Bo.
Hi, Chris.
And not to mention, Silas. Hey, Silas.
Yo, what up?
We have a very special guest today. Mm-hmm. He is the creator of a Baroque house, Sam Hell Films, Moving Fast Pictures, Pink Material, Club Disgust, Bizarre Theater. It's Sam Hell. Hey, Sam.
How's it going?
Great.
Yeah, we're so glad you came back to hang out with us again.
It was fun the first time. I had to do it a second time.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, it's been about a year since we last chatted. So, what you been up to?
That accurate?
Oh, just going over state borders and moving around and making movies that they try to make movies.
Hell yeah.
That's about it.
Well, we just got A Whisper, A Scream, and A Cut to Black. We watched it last night.
Yeah, we did.
Yes. Glad it's arriving, like planned.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and I got my cool poster today.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Yeah, we all enjoyed it. It was kind of cool seeing something different from you.
Yeah. It was a quick shoot. It was very different. I didn't even touch the camera. Well, that's a lie. I touched it. But majority was done with all the actors holding the cameras this time.
Okay.
In a different location other than a restroom.
Warehouse. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was cool.
I'm glad you guys dug it.
Yeah, so what made you want to do like a found footage type movie, or you know, something different than what you usually do?
I mean, like, I always had, like, something in the back of my head to do it. I just didn't know what or when. Usually it's, like, something. Like, I don't know. It was just, like, an idea that came through. It was supposed to be the Vania 2 project. Mm-hmm. But ultimately that, like, kind of just didn't happen. So in order, it was more of, like, okay, well, do we just, you know, refund everybody and just kind of shrug and be like, oh, well, or do we kind of just, like, take the indie spirit and kind of like make something cool that's different. And it was kind of, I think that was kind of the only option or the only like criteria as far as like, if I'm gonna do something other, it's gotta be like wildly like different than what we were gonna do. For even Vania 2's script was like wildly different, so I still wanted to do something wildly different. So what happened? I moved back from Vegas. My buddy Mason, who's in the movie, he has the Edgelord hat and he does all the sound for a lot of my projects, came to help me unpack, just take shit off the truck. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if this project's going to happen or what's going to happen. But oh, actually, yeah, we were still going to do the Vania thing. I was going to leave Pennsylvania like in a month. And then he offhand said, hey, we should do like a found footage. I have like a cast and crew. And I was like, oh yeah, we can do that like relatively fast and quick. And then Vania 2 kind of just didn't happen. And he mentioned that like, I think like a week before. So I just was like, hey, that found footage idea, let's run it. And I think everything was set up maybe like a week and a half after everything. So we just jumped into that. I wrote the script during that like 1 week period, and kind of whatever group dynamic and seemed like everybody in that group dynamic that I wrote was like in his acting class, so it kind of worked.
Okay, hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I gotta say, I think that, I mean, I know I'm biased because I've been into it the whole fucking time or whatever, you know, yeah. Since like the Broke House, but like, I'm super stoked on the new one, man, because it feels like this perfect amalgamation of like all the stuff that you've been like branching out into with like the new experimentation, but also the stuff that feels very like at home and very much like within your realm and your catalog. Like it felt like such a awesome blending of like all those elements.
Yeah.
And I apologize in advance when you go and listen to the episode, because there's so much shit that we like missed and got wrong and interpreted like fucking idiots because we were talking the whole time and like drinking and shit. But like I actually watched it last night before I went to bed, and I watched it again this morning when I woke up, and I was just like,
yeah.
Oh man, we totally got that wrong like while we were talking and shit. But
yeah.
No, it was good though. It was awesome, dude. It was really cool to see like something with that much going on with all that like crazy changing camera and the sound and shit. Like there was just, there were so many moving parts, and I thought it like all worked and blended together like really, really well. I was like super, super impressed with the way you were able to like wrangle this fucking project together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I did it.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, man. I do appreciate that. That was cool. I'm glad that you guys did. Like, you kind of like dove into it. I do like the, you know, the like first take, you know, and like just partying and kind of watching it, because that's kind of like how I thought the first movie would be. Like if it was in a theater screening, it would be like a lot of commotion going on, just trying to figure out what's happening, whether internally or just, yeah, maybe not in the theater, but like just a group of friends watching it, that they would kind of have some fun watching it, like blind, I guess, or like mindlessly watching it. And then when people sat down, there's a little bit more of like, oh, there's little like sneaks of stuff and kind of getting things, or what things mean, or what things, why things happened and stuff like that. Or is it really a ghost movie, or is it just somebody that's like really into ghosts?
Yeah.
Fun.
Hell yeah.
No, and I gotta say too, like I thought that like it really kept you in that suspense.
Yeah.
Like throughout the whole thing, because it wasn't until the like very fucking end when it was obvious that we were like, oh, okay, and it makes sense that they were able to like cut this and make it feel the way it was. But the whole time we were actually actively wondering, like, damn, is this a fucking ghost? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
It really worked. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. I'm glad it did. Yeah, we did it in, I think it was like a total of like 20 something hours of filming over the course of like 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Damn.
Nice. Yeah, the main bulk of the warehouse was just one day, and we did it. I did not know that the warehouse we shot it at didn't have lights. It was just floodlights. And I like messaged the guy, and I was like, hey, it's kind of getting dark. Is there like a light switch here? And he's like, there's a light switch, just floodlights. I was like, all right, well, let's finish this ending up soon. So it kind of takes place like in real time. Because everybody like kind of, because like the last kill of like the sun's kind of like it's like supposed to be like 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock. So it's like what happens at the end, the chase at the end is like, oh, that's like the end of their day.
So yeah.
It was like morning to like, and I even think we shot it at that time. Like whenever we did the pickups of the last scene, it was like more or less when we finished like the hour frame of when we finished the warehouse shoot. So it was kind of like a good transition into like, oh, it's still that time frame. There's no real time jump. It really seems like you're watching like something going downhill at real time. So it's fun. Difficult, but fun.
That shit looked good too, man.
Yeah, it looked so good.
I kept calling it like extra crispy for some reason, but like it was just like a really crisp like picture. That was it looked really good.
Yeah, there was a total of 3 cameras and like 2 GoPros were like sitting around. Like recording stuff that like, and then I think I used some footage from Doug, who's he did Trash Juice. He was there helping. He was shooting. There's in the main release, there'll be like an hour long making of or whatever,
but cool.
Some of the footage he's like holding behind the scenes camera, just filming what they're doing the entire time. So some stuff came there, but for the most part, it was Lucas's body camera, which is a police body camera.
Okay.
It's like actual.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And then Sam is holding a GoPro Osmos. And then one of the other guys is holding my like FX3 camera. And I'm just like shouting shit from like behind a wall and watching Sam's footage on my phone. So I was like, I was technically moving the camera sometimes when he was, because you can move it through the phone and the gimbal to where it goes. So like he was like focusing on acting, I would move the camera up so like it actually get who he's talking to or get him talking. So that was like a unique thing, and I felt like it kind of is different. I've never done that before.
Hell yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I also really loved how like brightly lit this one was. Like there was so much like daytime horror, but it like worked really well. But then it was also like super fucking dark in some of the rooms in the warehouse too, you know? Like it was super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. It was a unique experience or a unique exercise, because I have shot projects in a day's time, but it's usually like so spread out in a way. This one was like hitting each like couple pages every couple hours, and we just had it because we were just I didn't want to pay for the warehouse again. So
yeah.
And there was a lot of people. Like I think it was like the biggest crew I've had. There was and it's like spread out through like independent underground films too. So it's like Doug and his friends and who he shoots and does acting with, or the effects artist was Doug's friend. Rebecca Vanguard was there taking photos. Lucas was in some unreleased projects. And Mason's done all my audio. So it was like a group of people. And I kind of liked that because like I didn't really have to be the one man team. Like instead of like me having to go do something, I would just, somebody would just be allowed, like, oh, that thing needs to move over there. Like Doug would go run and do it. So it was, that was a unique thing. Oh, that shit thing is over there. I got to move it, put the camera down and go like.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I liked that. It made everything quicker.
Yeah, for sure.
So you're sending out the, Indiegogo editions, and I guess once you're done with that, it's gonna have like a official release date.
Yeah, it'll be like the main release will be out in October, in Halloween. On Halloween, it'll go on pre-order. So like,
oh okay,
when people are out trick or treating, they
Halloween.
Yep.
Get your copy of A Whisper, A Scream, and A Cut to Black.
Yeah, but to kick back a little bit though, I do think. It's really crazy because I was curious about while watching, I was curious about the actual way that the filming process went. So it's really cool to hear that the crew that you got together for this one just like did so well on their own to like pick up the pieces and make things like come together as much as they did, because I thought this had just as much control as your typical projects do when it's all pretty much like you having to be the one to commandeer everything. So like I was like really, really surprised and also like really excited to see that this one had so much of a sense of like control and coherence to it with so many hands in the pot.
Yeah.
So it seems like you've got a lot of good buddies willing to like make sure that shit happens the way it needs to happen for like a project like that. Do you plan to like do more with like that group, or like do more with that many people on crew again in the future?
I mean, it'll be cool. Yeah, I know Mason, who's the guy who set everything up. Basically, those are his friends from his acting class, and they have all like either, I think one of them directed a project that some of them are in. The couple in the film are actually a couple in real life. Some of the others have done like music videos and like stuff like that, but I think this is for all of them, maybe 80% this was their first like feature film. But they're, since it was supposed to be like a friend group dynamic, they were already friends, so they picked up that really well, and arguing with each other and like pinpointing things and like it just, that's what I think I got most out of everything. Like all the reviews that people were talking about, it's like the acting is like so believable. Well, they're actually all friends, kind of like, did what they were friends and they want to get out. Some people don't feel like they want to get out. You're stupid for thinking like that. We should all get out. Like, it's this like fun thing. And I was like, really kind of like, it was like, I sent them the script and it was like, there's dialogue for them to talk or beats for them to hit, but mainly like their, what was happening in the script was just like them taking what they read and pushing it further and like adding to it and like playing a who's done it type of thing.
Yeah.
And I like that. It was cool because like the only thing I was really like hinting on would be like, all right, if Sam's pointing a camera at you, you point it at him so they can get like a cut of like he's obviously talking to one actor and I need a camera scene of who's talking. So there was this like kind of like choreographed, like if you're holding a camera here, don't like hold in the same section, like move around or add to it. Like in one part, it's like Liz's character hears something and sees a shadow and like we see a camera like react to what he's doing. Okay. It's like I didn't really tell him to do that, but it was like I guess explained as we would cut and be like, this is like I would explain more of like, oh, get a little bit more into it or like getting people's faces a bit or like certain things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that this as the kind of the fallback or the alternate version of what we got, as opposed to being able to get Vania 2, I was like very, very satisfied with this being the project that was like slotted in as an alternative to that.
Yeah.
Because I think it is by far like one of it feels so much larger scale in a lot of ways with like all the moving parts and all the stuff going on in it. And I think it was like a really a super competent and really really outstanding outing as far as like what you've done thus far up to this point. And I mean, I don't know how other people feel, but I, for one, was like really happy to get this in place of Vania 2 after that didn't end up being able to pan out.
Yeah.
Well, that helped.
With that new release coming out, that guy, the one that makes all the cool hard boxes and shit and all the slipcovers and stuff, he does like really cool fucking work. Are you planning to continue doing some stuff with him in the future?
Yeah, I've talked to him about doing some slip cases for Black Friday.
Okay.
And then like some ones for the giveaway for like the film fest we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Like, films of mine that are like, oh, one of one shit and stuff like that. Like fun things like that.
And that's the School of Hard Box, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Levi is his name.
Okay.
Yeah, all the stuff on his profile is awesome.
Yeah, follow him on Instagram. I was
really excited to see that release because it just came out really, really sleek.
Yeah, it was real good work. I saw like his other ones from like his pictures, and I didn't know that a lot of them were like for like the Aero cases. They weren't for like things, but he then fixed it so it would be the size of like a normal Blu-ray case. So he like I sent him the artwork and then he like fixed it to make it like smaller, I guess, thinner.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and segueing into that, how's the film fest planning been going?
It's been like kind of just rolling in the background. I've been kind of just trying to get things situated film wise, but like I have we have it pretty much set up. I have to do just the last payment, which I'm just kind of holding off on. Tickets go on sale this month, and we're just kind of announcing what it, like I've kind of just been throwing out hints of what's going there. But I think a lot of people, like once they see what's shown, they would be like, "Oh yeah, I'll go out to that, or I'll fly out to that." Like I already know, like some people are like Anders, who like associate produces all the stuff. He's from Norway. Man. He's flying out for it, so it's like,
nice. I guess,
so something for some people to check out or something. And I know some, like Christian Michelson, I think his name is
from PBC. Yeah.
He has a table there. So there's people coming out for it. It's just gonna be like limited. Like it'll be like 130 tickets in total, but like the first 99, so I can kind of just like see where we're at. If like 20 sell, there's no need for me to get like 130, you know.
Yeah,
right.
I'm just doing it for myself.
Yeah, that sounds cool, man.
Yeah,
that sounds
fun. Your birthday thing, right?
Yeah, I always wanted to do a theater screening of my stuff. I've never shown anything or been at a screening of anything of mine out here. So I was like, oh, let's do that. And I was like, let's not be selfish. Let's add other people. So.
Well, and Bones and his partner Bree are supposed to be flying out to that too, which is super cool.
Yeah, I think they're coming together. Unless
they
ideas all three of them.
What's my fucking excuse if fucking Anders is coming out?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I can make it, man.
They may hold him at the border and just be like, what's going on? Why are you flying here?
Yeah, for real.
He's like, I'm here for a XXX gore fest.
I know. I wish we could go.
Go to Disneyland.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think the whole idea of doing the physical tickets is really cool too. I really liked those mock-ups that you posted for those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been hanging out with these young dudes from Maine, but they live out in LA now. But they do they're doing monthly film fest and film fest. Like they showed Scream at a brewery, and then they have a bigger film fest coming where they're showing it's a street film fest, and then they're going back to showing Hostel or Saw at the brewery and stuff like that. And just noticed, I was like, damn, these tickets technically free for people, but they're really nicely made, but they're doing it as collections. And I was like, that's a cool idea, but I just kind of want tickets so I know who's coming in and who I owe a shirt to or something like that.
Yeah.
And it feels like, you know, when they pay for a ticket, that it's not just going to they kind of get something.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. It's kind of a lost thing to the times, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, give people something that, because I'm that type of person too. Anytime I go somewhere where I actually get a physical thing, I keep that shit. You know what I mean? It becomes part of my kind of my scrap drawer where I put stuff important from events and stuff I've gone to. And there's too many things you go to where the only option anymore is the digital format. So you don't have a real keepsake from it.
Yeah.
But that's something I appreciate too about like Cinema Wasteland. It's even if whether you're a vendor or a guest, you get the cool ass lanyard and shit, and it's laminated and everything, so you get to have a physical piece to keep in the collection afterwards, you know. And
yeah
I always appreciate shit like that.
Cool. I'm sure everybody will leave with something. If it's not just a ticket, it's like a poster or their shirts and stuff like that, or there'll be other vendors who's slinging their stuff. And I think everything is uniquely different from films to zines. And I think, I don't know what the other person does, but yeah, it should be worth the time and money. And then those guys who are doing the screenings, they're doing another showing of Scream 2 days before that, Thursday.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, fuck, if people are coming out early, a week early or a couple days early before the show, it's we could go meet there and be and have a hangout. And then 2 days later, or a day later, it's the screening of the film fest. So it's there's things to do during that time.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Where can people get tickets to the Sam Hell Film Festival?
It'll be up on my site on samhell.com on the 29th of this month. And I think that gives us enough time of 3-2.5 months or something like that for 90 tickets to get sold, 99 tickets. Which I don't think it's hard. I went to this event last night and passed out flyers, and there's people kind of already hyped about it. So it's
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so the flyers are being posted just given out left and right, and it's more of just first come, first serve type thing. And obviously people who bought tables and stuff like that already have their ticket, but That's the gist. And it's a cool little theater too. It's right next door to the last U.S. porn theater.
Oh, okay.
So it's the last one there is in the States. It's a working adult theater. So it's
I think I seen you post that on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. It's Tiki cool. Theater.
Yep.
Unique sleaze stuff.
Well, and it's cool too. So the event you went to last night, you said you had posted you met some people, the dude behind the Beyond Unzine and some of that shit, right? And like that guy's super cool. I've been meaning to like submit to that for like fucking ever, and I just haven't yet. But it's like something I actively like kind of pay attention to and follow online and stuff.
Yeah, he gave me the
hell yeah!
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Like, pretty thick, like
yeah.
Oh wow, but,
that looks nice quality too.
He gave me that a couple of just like cassettes and stuff like that to check out, but he's working on the next zine, which I think that one and the next zine will be up at the film fest, so they like people can buy them there.
Hell yeah,
they're like super good quality. But yeah, he's like down the street from me. He That's got a crazy. Table. And I was like, I could just drop this stuff off at your house.
It's really wild too, because I think I follow a lot of the people that you end up meeting at these events and then like posting shit with. I am always like independently following them already, and I'm just like, it's so weird to see how like small world it can be sometimes.
Yeah,
that's usually what I've noticed. Or like, I'll just get hit up with like, oh, are you Sam? Obviously the hat, and the people are like, yeah. They're like, oh shit, I follow you for this and that. Let me like. Dig this, I dig that, and I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I didn't even, like, know you would be here or even knew you lived in L.A. Like,
yeah.
So it's fun doing that or just meeting people or just getting, like, seeing what other people are being creative about. So that was fun. Like, it was like a noise event. But, like, when I saw the flyer, I was like, it's probably like in Virginia or like Indiana or something like that. And there's like Los Angeles. I was like, all right, I'll go.
So. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was kind of funny too. I don't think I ever told you about it, but when I first started doing like some like noise music and shit, there was this guy I found on Bandcamp and I really, really liked his stuff. And I just hit him up one day and was just like, oh, I really like your stuff. If you ever want like artwork or something, let me know. And then he like, was like, oh, aren't you the guy that did the fucking cover for Odd World of Felicia Fisher? Like, and he was like, dude, that's fucking awesome. Yeah, I'll do artwork with you sometime. Like, it was super cool. But it is weird too. It's like once you get into those niches in terms of like aesthetic interests and stuff, you just find a bunch of people where like everybody is consuming each other's stuff, and it's like everybody is kind of like hyper aware of one another, whether you've ever like talked or not. It's really neat.
Yeah.
I've noticed that a lot, like, just the most niche, like, event I can go to, and, like, somebody's like, oh, you shot some film with my roommate, and they'll say their roommate's name, and it's like, yeah, they've been in, like, three projects, and I talked to them on the off time. I didn't know that you even, like, you were her roommate, or, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I find that a lot, and, or, like, I'm thrown in. And then, like, I'm the one that, like, people know. So it's kind of like, oh, cool. I'm super introverted. So it's like I was just sitting there, like,
yeah.
By myself. And then the guy who does the Beyond Zine ordered one of the Whisper, a Scream, and it cuts to black. So I was like, can I just give it to you? So, like, I can kind of, like, save on shipping because it was a lot more to create that film and get it out than, like, what was posted. So it was like.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's also just a lot cooler anyway, and like more personable to be able to just hand out a fucking copy like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like in person. That's super cool.
Hell yeah.
That's cool. I like it.
I really dig that fucking New York Ripper flag you've got back there. That's super cool.
Yeah.
The tie poster, but it's.
Oh shit. Okay. I was going to say, I saw the like duck killer on it, and I was just like, oh, they took some artistic liberties. It's like even cool. It kind of reminded me of those like Ghana posters and shit that they make for all the movies.
I still want to get some Ghana posters made for some projects, but I'm trying to like, how would I explain it to them, or how would I like I would have to like send them photos from the film, but I want like some Sam Hell ones done in Ghana.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool, man.
Yeah, it would be cool.
I'd buy the shit out of that.
Yeah,
hell yeah, dude.
But they're always, I like them. I went to, I didn't know, Grayface, which is now, I guess, like, the hub for, like, Terror Vision and Culture Shock and a couple labels. I, like, went there when I was in Chicago and, like, didn't know that was, like, their spot. But they had a bunch of those, like, Ghana posters there, like, the originals. And I guess the guy eyes them or correlates with the guy who does the art. So it's something related to the Grayface distro that you can kind of like probably get something made. So that's the next thing I'm going to look for.
Well, man, I know you've got the film fest coming up and all that stuff too, and I fucking wish I could fucking make it out to that. I'm kind of peeved that Bones gets to come hang out in person with you before I get a chance to. Yeah. But like, is there a chance anytime in the future that you think you're ever going to swing back up our way and get to like Cinema Wasteland or something like that?
It just sort of depends on how funds work. Like, yeah. The last one I was going up there because. The last one I went to when I was up there, it was because someone offered me some of their table, and I was like, cool, all I have to do is get, like, and I was, like, sharing a room, so I was like, oh, cool, everything, the prices are down.
Yeah.
And then Lewis from Massacre was like, they gave me a table, can you just, like, run it? And I was like, okay. So then I got, like, a table. So I was like, okay, then I guess it was worth it in a way because I didn't have to pay for anything. Besides that, like, flight and hotel, but I took Spirit, and that kind of turned me off. I
was like, Spirit, and then, like,
yeah. With, like, a whole, like, you, like, they had to be, like, high schoolers, like, 12th grade, like, football team. Like, the whole, it was me and the football team.
Oh, and then
I went over there with them, and then I came back with them.
Oh,
and they, like, even noticed me enough to be like, hey, you flew out with us. And I was like, yeah. It was cool. I like the area, I like Ohio and stuff like that. Like, so, yeah, maybe. I mean,
it's a cesspit, but Cinema Wasteland's cool.
I'm into that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's like-minded people that will buy stuff and
things like that. Definitely.
A little bit more than out here. Like, I was at Monster Palooza with Byro and. I was like, I ain't gonna sell shit. Like, I'm just gonna put stuff. Like, I'll put some stuff in a backpack, but I've done Days of the Dead, and they don't sell shit. Mm-hmm. And like everything I brought sold like every day. So I was like, oh, maybe there's a pickup going on. Like, maybe I didn't know that. Like people are getting into Blu-rays again. So or physical media, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think so, but
yeah.
Streaming sucks. it gets worse every day.
Yeah.
Every day there's like something added to it where it's just like, hey, we're gonna remove this film, or it's just like this show has like had 13 episodes, now there's 11. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, the thing that I noticed too with a lot of streaming, which fucking sucks, is they'll go in now and they'll like start cutting shit out,
mm-hmm.
but there's absolutely nothing to like indicate that something has been cut. So it's like I've sat here before and been like, oh, I don't actually own this movie right now, but I really want to show it to you with like Chloe, and I'll show her some shit on like Tubi and be like, hold on a minute, because yeah. there was something in that movie that yeah. definitely did not happen, and then I'll look it up online and lo and behold, it's been fucking cut, and I'm yeah. just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
it just kind of sucks the way that works.
Yeah, and you're just fucked.
Yeah.
And it's like not like necessarily like PC reasons, it's like the owner of Tubi just doesn't like that, so yeah. like they're yeah. cutting that out, or like owner of Amazon doesn't like that, mm-hmm. so we just cut it out. It's like,
yeah,
okay, well, like we liked it, or like
mm-hmm.
so it started like getting me into like buying films again, because I kind of took a break, mainly because I didn't have money, but yeah. like now I'm like, all right, cool, we kind of moved back, I start schooling soon, so it's like I have some funds to kind of get some stuff that I either sold before or like new things coming out, or check out new films, which I've been trying to do and release as well. So it's not like just older films, just also like newer ones that come out, so it's like, oh, I can buy the Blu-ray, or I could release it and then I own the Blu-ray.
Yeah
hell yeah.
And then the filmmaker gets some money. I get to like release it how I want it to look, and I don't have to like entirely pay for a copy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the way to do it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, man, if you're ever up this way again, seriously, if you ever want somebody to be able to like run the table, so you don't have to be bogged down to it the entire time, like Chloe and I are up there every single fall, like for sure. So we're always. Ready if you need somebody to just sit there and watch shit and make shit able to stand, so you can like actually go out and socialize and be with the people and make your rounds and shit. just let us know, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually thinking, it's just more of my issues with flying. I don't like flying. That was kind of the
reason.
Yeah, Lisa's the same way.
Yeah, we had this conversation. They were like, oh, you guys are going to fly, right? And I was like, no, I want to fucking drive, even though it's going to take a whole day.
My sinuses are super fucked, and the only time I ever flew, it like put so much goddamn pressure in my head. I was just like, it felt like somebody was like putting a screwdriver in my skull by the time we actually touched back down, and I had to like take Benadryl and like dig out my ears for like fucking hours before I like acclimated and felt like okay. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But like even separate from that, just the anxiety of it was like weird and shit too. But like I quickly noticed that like that went away as soon as like all the crazy sinus bullshit started, and I was just like, oh, I'm just in pain, so I can't be scared. I'm just in pain.
Like, you're like, if it actually crashed now, I would actually be better.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, please kill me.
You know, like I that was kind of the issue with like Vania too. I was like, I gotta go to PA for like, I think it was like a week or like yeah, something like that. And I was like, so I was like, all right. It just kind of didn't happen. And I was like, well, that's like one thing I'm like, that's I'm happy about. The rest wasn't like really happy, but I was like,
yeah,
I just don't have to like get on the airplane.
Yeah,
like look at that positive. Yep. So.
Well, you know, I just said I've never flown before, and I don't feel like this is the right time to start because it's just been nonstop bullshit with planes lately.
Yeah,
I think like every like we were getting I was getting closer and closer and closer to filming, and it was like every single news spot was like pull another plane down or like
yeah
plane holding 20 kids now like in the like river, and it's like river is going over there, and I'm just like so it was just like a lot of like fear propaganda shown on online, and I was just like it was online and it was on the TV, so it was and then I like just moved too, so I was like I did a trip out to LA and I went back to Vegas. I spent like a week there, and then I packed up everything and came back, and then I was like already like drained, and then it was like another week I had to like 2 weeks I had to leave again, and it was like it's a lot of moving around within this like month.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like already over travel. But then you're gonna just lock me in a tube and throw me in the sky. That's not like the funnest thing.
Yeah.
Cameras and like not fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it gave another route, which is you know, I guess I'm happy for that. We'll see if people get the copies of the Indiegogo, they read anything I posted, because that seems to be the kind of issue lately where it's like,
oh yeah,
posted like 15 updates that we weren't doing Vania 2 and like 15 more emails, and like people are still like kind of messaging of like, what's this? And I'm like
yeah.
I just try to stay calm, cool, and relaxed. So I'm just like, yours now, that's what it is.
Yeah. Just go read the fucking updates.
there's
a lot of work in the news.
Yeah.
I really like do put like, I think people don't have an issue with waiting. I don't think people have an issue with change. I don't think people have any problem. It's the lack of communication. And I feel like I'm very communicative in everything I do. So it's like you can't really get mad if like I tell you someone's gonna punch you, and I tell you like 10 times, and then you get punched, and you're like, dude, why didn't you tell me? And it's like
the whole
time standing there saying that, like,
yeah,
it's my fault. Anyways, everything's my fault, so I'll just take the blame.
So I mean, as of like right now, is Vania 2 like completely off the table, or do you plan on doing it sometime in the future?
I want to. Ossery wants to. I just like the whole issue was just it was the fact of I didn't know where I was going to live, so it was kind of like, well, let's just postpone it. Like, it's not off the table. It's just not happening now.
Yeah.
And like when we have the time and funds to do it, we'll do it, and it won't be. It will be like 50-50, not like Osiris did 99%. I came in to kind of then like backtrack and like give my percentage in.
Yeah.
So, and then like, so it can be kind of like this equal thing. I really felt like the whole thing was 100% my fault. Like, I just was like, let's do a production. I'm moving. Like, I can't do anything. Yeah. Like, so, and I feel like a dick for like not being in the, I guess, the right time frame and mindset to kind of like help. So it was, I would say it was just kind of like my doing of like not feel prepared. And then when it was like basically start from zero, I was like, all right, I'm kind of back in my like home field of just like, well, it's kind of on my shoulders again. Let me just kind of see how we can do it. And I did. Mason had the crew. I had the story, and we just kind of put it together. And there was people here that were able to help. And there was enough time frame to set it into place. So it got done. Possibly, maybe part two will be coming, but it'll be. I already kind of said that. Again, if people read the updates, that if we did the Vania 2, that everybody who basically funded this and stayed on board, because I did in the updates say that people have refunds and, you know, right, returns and, you know, do all that, and everybody stuck around, I was like, if when we do that, then I would just ship everybody a copy that kept their perk, and like they wouldn't have to pay for like that new film, that new release of it. But again, this all kind of depends on, I already said that, like, I wouldn't do it without Ossery. There was an idea just to kind of, like, they were like, just shoot it out there, and, you know, people don't get up, like, to bother, and I was just like, nah, I won't do Vania 2 without you. It's not
really definitely my
interest, and, like, it's not other people's interest. Like, we kind of co-created it.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm just not gonna, yeah. So if they're game, I'm game. If time is like gives us the opportunity, then yeah, we'll do it.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any like harm or bad foul that it didn't happen. It was just like wrong timing for me.
Yeah.
I should have probably finished that film like a month ago. But then again, that would be like 2 months behind releasing it. So it's like, what can you do?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Well, like, fingers crossed, man. Maybe someday. At the end of the
day. Yeah.
But also, like, yeah, Ossuary has been like, it's been so cool to see Ossuary like blooming into like all these new roles and these new positions in the underground and like doing shit, especially with like the Bloodsick crew. Like, those have been fucking awesome. Those movies have been awesome. And I know that those guys have a lot of like reverence and appreciation for like your stuff. And I've talked to them at Cinema Wasteland and stuff, and they were like, oh shit, you're the fucking cover art guy. Like, it's been fucking cool, man. And I was really sad that Ossuary wasn't able to make it out to Cinema Wasteland last year, because I was really excited to finally meet her in person and kind of like talk about it and stuff. But no, I mean, the impact has been lasting, and also like, you can kind of see him. I've got my Vania poster here in the background, and Chris has the same one here. Right above and stuff. But even if it never happens, like, that's a really cool short. And I know that as far as like the, I get, it's hard to say mainstream when it's something as niche as like Sam Hell Productions, but like the mainstream audience of your stuff, like, really, really loves Vania. So like, it's just cool to see like how that kind of cemented this place for Ossuary to have like this jumping off point to continue to like bloom into this like indie darling and all these other productions. And yeah, it's awesome to see how the trajectory has worked out there.
Yeah, no, they really jumped into like those productions. Then I saw they were with Darcy in a project, and like have another like things like, They're doing a lot. Like, Ossuary is like probably someone I see posted on, like how we were saying earlier, like, you know that person and somehow they know somebody else. Like, I've seen people that have like wasn't even followed and didn't follow me, and like, oh, that stuff's cool, and then scroll like four down and like Ossuary's like modeling for them.
Yeah, and I'm
like, whoa, like they really are all over, like, doing crazy art stuff. And, like, I was like, that's kind of, those kind of, like, my wants or interests for, like, people is that, like, I hope it didn't stop at me. I just hope it went, like, it was, I was just, like, a notch that they could use to do another horror film and be like, I have, you know, this is, like, my real type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can, like, send it to somebody and, like, they wanted to, like, branch out of the adult industry. They could be like, I can go do, like, a trauma film or, like, this and that.
Yeah.
And even, like, some people have been doing some trauma films.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just been cool to see that, like, it's, I don't like it to be about me. And, like, I hate things, even though I type samhill.com on everything. And, like, it's like,
yeah,
I really try to be like, my idea or goal was back in the day is to do, like, a film where literally everybody was involved, from, like, Unearthed to, like, Massacre to, like, some people over here to some people over there. And it came close with the newest Guinea Pig, but, like, to have, like, every single, like, production kind of bleed in, or label kind of bleed in.
Yeah.
And hopefully it comes out, or something like that comes out. But that's been my goal, to kind of have, like, help people to kind of get into what they want to do, or, like,
yeah,
shoot some more stuff. Coda did stuff for Trauma, and, like, Naughty does stuff for Trauma now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Samhill, yeah, brings us all together.
Yeah.
Brought me and Silas together. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
That's the only reason I'm here.
Yeah.
I saw that interview and I was like, what the fuck is this podcast? And I listened to the entire that catalog, and I was like, oh, these guys are fucking awesome. And I just started, like, reaching out, and then art, and yeah, here I am as the fucking fourth host now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the art that you did for the shirts and stuff like that. Those are sick.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Silas kills it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the latest cover coming, so.
Oh, I'm so fucking stoked for that. And also, thanks for the opportunity to do a Brian Pollan film, man. Like, that's crazy. I'm super stoked on that one.
Yeah.
When you posted with the credit that I was going to be the cover artist and I reposted it and stuff, I had messages and stuff where, like, oh, fuck, I'm so excited for you. Like shit like that from people. It was awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be two Blu-rays from Brian, and it was mainly kind of just discussed because I think at the time currently I guess he got laid off from his job, so yeah. I was like, well, we can do a release and you can get some money, like if people buy, then, you know. And apparently outside of, like, maybe some labels in other countries, like, I don't think there is any, like, Blu-rays of his films.
So, no.
We'll start with Septic, and then after that will be Blood Pigs. So,
hell yeah.
Nice.
So not only does it help kind of, like, the label grow and kind of get some cooler names and cool films, like, we could also, like, put whatever people pay is always split with the director, unless they want to, like, something else. But, like, with him, I was like, yeah, I don't mind, like, waiving the initial startup thing to kind of give you some more funds to help out. Like, I know how it is to kind of, like, yeah, be, oh, you don't have a job now. Like,
yeah, like, for sure, man.
Out, and it's like, it sucks. And, like,
Brian puts so much into his shit too, man. Like, it really sucked to see that post when that initially happened to him. Cause it was crazy too, but, like, just like you, he's so, like, on it, right? With his projects, where it was like, even in that post where he's like, here's what's going on, but also Abyssal Purgatory is still fucking happening. It's just going to be a little slower. Like, yeah, you know, his just, like, eyes on the prize, like, the entire fucking time.
Yeah. I was like,
you got to love that work ethic, dude.
Like, yeah.
I was like, I don't think nobody's really tripping that if you're going to be a little late on a project or it may, you know, be delayed because of that. But it's like, but yeah, we're going to keep going. And I was like, all right. Like, yeah. Cool. I know how that is. Like, so, oh yeah, hopefully, like, he can that release will take some stress off of, you know, making a bill or something like that. And then, like, oh, we have money to put towards, some extra money to put towards filming. And it's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Fun things.
You got, anything to plug? for us before we let you go?
When is this podcast supposed to go up, do you know?
Should be Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I could just say the films that are going to be shown at the Broke Film Fest.
Okay.
Okay.
So, let me see. I have it pulled right here. Oh, it's going to be a total of, I think, 3 feature films. One is the one we talked about, which is my film, The Whisper, A Scream, and A Cut to Black.
Okay.
And there'll be, I think, 8 short films. So the first, it'll start with the opening block of James Bell's Bliss. We'll go with Guy Pearce's 2 Girls, 1 Gut.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Hell yeah.
And there's a short film that I like. It's not horror, but it's really good. I think it showed at Fantasia. Pretty sure it showed at Fantasia. And I don't want to mess up his last name, so I'm just saying his first name is just Max. And he has a short called Nephilim, which is a funny, dark comedy, weird film.
Okay.
So those are the first 3. And then after that, it'll be A Whisper, A Scream, and A Cut to Black. And then after that, a director from Mexico, his name is Devar Villegas. Probably said that wrong, even though I am Hispanic. his short Video Gore will show after that. This is when I think we will have a hour break, so people who got vending tables can end, and people can see what that's at their table. Or I'm trying to get my sister-in-law to make some authentic Italian pizzas because she owns an Italian place.
Oh, hell yeah.
So people can get food and spend an hour talking. Yeah, and meet people or get things signed or buy films from whoever's selling stuff. After that, we'll show Vania, which, if the tickets sell, I will try. I'll aim to try to get Ossery there, if they're interested to be there.
Yeah.
And then after that, since it's a vampire short, we're gonna go with the vampire film, which is the second film shown, and that is Casper Joel's Bloodsucker,
hell
which
yeah.
is a feature-length vampire film that showed at Cannes this year.
Oh, nice.
Casper Joel did Monstrosity, Madness of Many that Unearthed released, and Sunken Danish, which was released with the Monstrosity. But it's a vampire film, and it has cool, sick music on top of neon lights in the dark. So,
hell yeah.
Wow. And then after that, it will be another short film block, which is David Dawson's Fam-ily.
Oh, hell yeah.
Love it.
We'll have Christian Michelson's, I can never say this word.
Sodomy.
Sodomy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I never say that. Like, Sade. Sade me. And then I know Daniel is trying to get a ending shot, or maybe Lucifer is one of them, but we're going to show the rosebush of those two.
Okay.
Nice.
Which is some in bloody, erotic weirdness from both of them together. And then the last film we'll be showing is American Guinea Pig, Slaughter of the Swine.
Oh, nice.
Damn. Okay. What?
And we'll be doing a Q&A with everybody afterwards, which is Steven, I think Eric Fox. Did they announce who's in the film?
I haven't heard anything, but I don't hear shit.
Yeah.
But I'll find somebody to moderate it. Since I did the camera for it, I'll be the camera talker. And
okay.
Steven will be there, and Eric for talking about making the film, because that was an insane happening. And then I think some of the actors, the lead actor, and maybe some of the others will be there. But I'll be like a screening of it. And so it does exist.
Hell yeah.
It has been edited.
Hell yeah. And
it will show at in November 22nd at the Baroque Film Fest. And I don't know if it is the first place it's showing, but it may be the first place it's showing. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Seems like it. Wow. Get your tickets to the Baroque Film Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's stacked. Yeah. I would say there's a little bit of everything. We got like the craziness and the oddities of James Bell and Guy Pearce, and then like more like I personally think Commercial is like Niflheim and Video Gore and Bloodsucker, like Cannes chosen selected film. And then you got My Trash and then like other three short films that are like, they kind of, it's, I wanted a lot of like diversity, a lot of like horror, but like not really, or like comedy, but like it's horror. So it's not people watching them like snuff 24/7.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, should be good. Well, tickets 29th.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to want to watch it, then that'll be the good time to watch it because it'll be like with the director and distributor and like actors and then people that are kind of around the area because a lot of people in that film are like out here. So.
Okay. Hell yeah.
And then yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool.
We'll see what happens with it, and if there's enough like that was awesome, then we'll probably do one every like Black Friday month type thing.
Oh man, that'd be amazing. I hope it's successful for you. Yeah. Man. That sounds really fun.
It should be fun, and everybody should fly out for it because then they get to watch cool things with people they, you know, they kind of met on the interwebs and haven't met in person. Now they can meet in person, so
yeah,
you know, not the funnest to travel around right now.
Hell yeah, man. Well, thanks for hanging out with us again, Sam Hill. That's
anytime,
always fun.
Yeah,
I'm here doing things.
Oh, yeah, so cool to finally get to talk to you kind of face to face.
Yeah, we've done some, I think, like one or two,
just like calls and shit, you know.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have to worry about how I looked, and I kind of like feel my age right now.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy you're showing your face because those tattoos are too cool to hide, man.
Yeah.
I literally was like, good shit. At the event yesterday, and someone was like, Sam? And I was like, yeah. Like, I knew from the tattoos. I was like, I knew you probably know me from the tattoos.
Yeah.
Identifying figure, I guess, so.
Yeah.
If you ever want to watch a fucking movie with us, man, that's what we do. We just watch them live on the podcast. You're always welcome. You're in the Discord now.
So, I'm assuming, would this talk be like, did you guys record yesterday's thing?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It'll make a little bit more sense of like what's going on? What are they talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to release them together.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything I said should be problematic.
Nah, it's all good.
Very tame episode around these parts.
Yeah, we're all on our best behavior when you're here.
You would think it would be opposite, but you know, I'm just the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime. Anything. Any other things you need? Just let me know.
All right.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us. And until next time, this has been What the Fuck Are You Watching? Say bye, bitch.
Bye, bitch.
Bye, bitch.
Bye.
That's damn good.
Did you think this podcast was as good as instant noodles? Or is it more like a cobalt blue tarantula? Leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Get in touch with us at WTFAreYouWatchingPod@gmail.com, where you can leave reviews for the movies we've been watching, recommend other movies for us to watch, or leave any questions or comments for us to answer. Either way, thanks for listening.